Welcome to the Checked Kicks podcast. I am your host, Josue Jimenez, and let's get right into it. So, coming out of UFC 263, we had two title fights. We had Israel Adesanya retaining his middleweight title and a new flyweight champion in Brandon Moreno, who's also the first Mexican champion in UFC history. But the big thing coming out of UFC 263 wasn't even the title fights. The biggest story or headline coming out was in the first five round non-title, non-main event fight in UFC history, which was between Leon Edwards and Nate Diaz. The big thing coming, this is like the biggest like meme and things like that coming out of the pay-per-view. And it was Nate Diaz getting beat up for 24 minutes and 30 seconds before literally in the last 30 seconds of the fight, he lands a slap straight left punch combo and rocks Leon Edwards bad. And he give him like another 15, 20 seconds, he might have been able to finish him. Which is crazy to me because Leon Edwards hasn't lost, I believe, in his last like 9 or 10 fights. And instead of him getting the praise for winning that fight 4-1, Nate Diaz becomes an even bigger star just for rocking him in the last 30 seconds of the fight, which is crazy to me, but not just crazy to me, which is like Nate Diaz's star power and how big of a star he's become in this, like, the last part of his career. But where does Nate Diaz go from here? Because he's lost, he's lost his last two fights. The last time he fought, he got stopped by Jorge Masvidal, but that was, like, a doctor stoppage. But he was getting beat up pretty badly in that fight, too. But where does Nate go from here? Because I think a cut to 155, you have a lot of people calling him out. You have guys like Dan Hooker calling him out. I don't think Nate Diaz is going to cut down to 55 anymore. I think he's just comfortable at 170. He's a big, tall, lanky guy anyways. Damian Maya's called him out, but I don't think he's not going to get that fight. The only two fights that make sense for Nate right now, I think, is either the trilogy with McGregor, regardless of what happens with him and Poirier in that trilogy, or the rematch with Masvidal. Those are really the only two things that I can see for Nate right now that can draw like the star, not just the star power, but like that people want to see. People want to see Nate fight all the time, but you need someone opposite of that to really bring in even more eyes. And I think those are the only two fights that really make sense for Nate right now. But he also said he wants to get in there, you know, quick as possible. His brother Nick is looking to fight later this year. So maybe we can get a double Diaz fight card. But going on to Leon Edwards, this man has had such bad luck. He hasn't, like, he went on I think it was a year and a half or almost 2 years between fights because of the COVID restrictions, and he was all the way in the UK, and I think he ended up getting it, I believe, too. And then when he finally did get a fight lined up, it was against Bilal Muhammad, and he was looking good in that first round, and then come the second round, boom, it was an accidental eye poke. He accidentally poked Muhammad in the eyes. It was a no contest. So, and he was looking really sharp in that fight. And then you have this fight where he's winning convincingly through almost an entire five rounds. And then in the last 30 seconds, he gets rocked. And now all of a sudden, all the shine is off of him instead of like people going after him his win streak and giving him praise. Now he's like a, it's just crazy to me. But I think with Leon Edwards, the only fight that, I guess there's two fights that also make sense for him. If it's not a title fight, because I think after Colby Covington, I think he is definitely the next title contender after Covington. But it also depends on when they're going to do the Usman-Covington rematch. So the only other fight that makes sense is him and finally the fight with him and Masvidal. I think because everyone else in the top, I think almost top 10 is booked, because you have Usman, Covington is what they want to do next to the title fight. You have Leon Edwards sitting at number 3, and then you have Gilbert Burns booked against Wonder Boy, and then you have Michael Chiesa and Vicente Luque booked to fight each other. So the next highest available contender is Jorge Masvidal. So if it's not a title fight, I believe that should be the next fight to make. So in the co-main event, we had the flyweight championship rematch between Davison Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. And if you go off of what the first fight was, I believe, was the fight of the year in 2020. And they fought to a draw. And I agree with that decision in the first fight, because how can you pick a winner in that one? If you go back and watch it, these dudes, even for being 125 pounds, these guys are throwing heat. And you can hear the punches when they land. And it was pretty much just like production people, because it's in the UFC. It was in the UFC Apex Center, which is just in the UFC headquarters in Las Vegas. And it was just a room, like a big sort of room with a cage in the middle of it. And as the fight's going on, like people, it's getting loud in there, and it's pretty much just production people and like the athletic commission. It's pretty much all that's in there, and it sounds like it's getting louder, and which is crazy. So if you go based off of that fight going to the second one, you really don't know what to expect. But I actually picked Brandon Moreno to win this fight. And I thought his adjustments would be a lot better than what Figueiredo, his adjustments would be. Because I know Figueiredo cut so much weight to make 125. He looks almost like a skeleton when he steps on the scale. And I knew that if Moreno had an edge, it would be before the fight. It would be leading up to the scale, because Figueiredo has missed weight before. In the first fight with Joseph Benavidez for the vacant flyweight title, when Henry Cejudo vacated it, he missed weight. So, but he ended up winning that fight. So what they had to do, because he missed weight and he couldn't get the championship after that, they had to rematch them again. So that time he did make weight. But in this fight, the second fight, it was even more dominant than the first fight with Benavidez. So if you go based off of that, and then you take the first fight Moreno, and then the second fight with Moreno, you would think that he would make even more adjustments, but he actually looks super slow. Like the weight cut was just too much for him. And with Brandon Moreno, this dude goes 5 rounds hard, and you'll have to finish him to beat him. So a lot of people in the media picked Davison Figueiredo to win this fight, and man, it was 2 rounds, and Brandon Moreno was dominant. First round and second round, he ended up finishing him with a rear naked choke. First Mexican champion in UFC history. I mean, you can count Cain Velasquez, but he was technically, I mean, he was born in America. He's American. So really, Brandon Moreno, who was born in Tijuana and still trains there, still lives there. He even does the UFC Spanish commentary. He's part of that team. So he's really the firstborn Mexican champion, and which is honestly is good for the UFC because that's another market for them to go into. And the Mexican people really love fighting. Like you see it when in boxing, especially because like the biggest star in boxing is Canelo Alvarez. And he brings in so much money, so many views that I think with on the UFC side with Brandon Moreno, I do believe that they can capitalize on him and he can actually be a bigger star than what most people thought he would have been. Because if you've been following for a while, Brandon Moreno, he came into the UFC through the Ultimate Fighter. It was, they brought in all these regional champions, like from the champions from like these smaller organizations. And the winner got to fight at the time champion Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson because he had cleaned out his division. So this show was specifically to find a challenger for him and possibly bring in all these guys as potential contenders. So what they did was they ranked all of these guys coming in, and Brandon Moreno, I believe he was 21, 22 years old when he came into the Ultimate Fighter. And he was the lowest ranked guy there. So, and he did lose the one of the preliminary fights, which is basically one of the first fights of the season before going on to the next round. And then he gets to the UFC and then he wins, loses some. And then I think he loses two or three in a row and then he gets cut. So this is a man who actually got cut by the UFC and then he comes back, I think, a year and a half, a couple years later, goes on this run, and finally he becomes a champion. He's only 27, 28 years old. And this guy's in his prime right now, or at least just entering his prime. So I think if he keeps going like this, he'll be one of the more exciting champions to watch. Because all respect to Mighty Mouse Johnson, I think the greatest fighter of all time, but he wasn't bringing in for one reason or another. I don't know if people thought that he was just a big fish in a small pond at the time, or people just weren't interested at in the flyweight fighters during his reign. But he didn't really bring in the views or the buys. Even when they had him on headlining the fight night cards, it really wasn't bringing in a lot of views. And I think with Brandon Moreno, I think he has the potential to be one of the bigger stars, I believe. But, you know, only time will tell that. But what's next for him? I don't know, because they could do the trilogy with Figueiredo because there's a draw and then a win. But I don't know, because Figueiredo is actually talking about going up to 135. I think it was at a post-fight press conference. He said the weight cuts were really hard for him, but he would have to go back once he got back home, get with his management team and his coaches and see what's next. But I think 135, that's an extra 10 pounds he's not cutting. That's more energy for him. And he's still a big dude, like for his body frame. I mean, for 135, 125. So I think he can even still potentially become a champion at 135. And then also the other fight that makes sense, I think the next contender after Figueiredo, I think number two is Askar Askarov. But I don't know if that would have the drawing power for his first title defense. But if we're going strictly off of rankings, he's definitely the next in line after Figueiredo. So we'll see what's next after that. And in the main event, we had Israel Adesanya once again defending his middleweight title and once again showing why he's the number one middleweight in the world. He beat, I think, Marvin Vittori, I believe, was number three or four ranked this past Saturday. And it was a rematch with bad blood on both sides, you can say. But I think it was mostly Vittori just irritating Adesanya. Because when they first fought a few, I think it was like 2, maybe 3 years ago. It was a split decision, and Marvin Vittori has really been holding that for a while. He believes that he was robbed of that fight, and from that fight until this title fight, I don't believe he's lost the fight between those two times. But again, if you look at who he's beaten, I think the only guy who was ranked in the top 10 that he beat during that time was Jack Hermanson. And that was a good fight. That was a main event. It went all five rounds. It was a fight of the night. And so I don't know how Marvin thought he won in this rematch. Because I read somewhere one of the MMA articles, one of the sites, that said he felt like he was robbed, even though he was 50-45, which is he lost all five rounds of this fight. And I don't think he's not going to get another title shot soon. He would have to beat like the next three guys in order to get a title fight. And on the other side, you have Israel Adesanya, who we already know who his next challenger is. It's the number one guy, Robert Whittaker. Whittaker has beaten Darren Till, Jared Cannonier, and Kelvin Gastelum, I believe, in that order. And Till, I think, was ranked number six. Cannonier, I think, was ranked four. And then, or three, one of the two. And then Kelvin at the time, I believe, was ranked seven or eight. So all the guys were in the top 10. And there is no one else that should be next in line. Because Whittaker hasn't lost since he lost the belt to Adesanya. So I believe, if I read it correctly, I think it might be September. Maybe at the latest October. But that's a real good one. I think Robert Whittaker does have can win the belt back, because he is smart enough to make the right adjustments. And I don't want to say smart enough like all other fighters are dumb, but I believe him and his team can put together a game plan much more different than the first fight. Because in the first fight, he can go back, watch the film, and see what he did wrong. And what he was doing wrong was he was telegraphing by rushing in. And so all Adesanya knew he had to do was just land one counter punch, and that's exactly what he did, and knocked him out. So I think Whittaker can make the right adjustments and make it a much more interesting, a much closer fight than the first fight. And then we flip it back to the other side with Marvin Vittori. And I think a fight between him and Paulo Costa should be next. Paulo Costa just pulled out of a fight with Jared Cannonier, so Kelvin Gastelum took his spot. So I think the timeline works out well to where you can have both these guys lined up and fight. And Paulo Costa has been on Twitter saying, oh, if I'd beat him if he showed up and things like that. So I think that'd be a good fight to make. And I think that's definitely a fight of the night, like front runner right there. So we'll see what's next. Thank you for listening to this episode. Tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode of the Check Kicks podcast.